Begin the current daf Maseches Rosh Hashanah daf Lamed Gimel. Begin 6 lines down for Tab of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. That is, our Mishnah told us that although there's a mitzvah saseh, a positive commandment to blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah, however, one is not allowed to go ahead and violate any malacha, even rabbinic, to go ahead and attain a shofar. So if, let's say, it requires swimming or climbing on a tree, it doesn't make a difference because the mitzvah of shofar is just a mitzvah saseh, and the prohibition of doing malacha on Yom Tov is an aseh and a lois aseh, and the positive commandment is not deicha, does not push aside the aseh and the lois aseh of Yom Tov. Now, however, on that the Mishnah continued and said, and that's where our Gemara quotes, is Avalam Ratza Litin Latecha Maima Yayin Eating. But if he wants to put inside the shofar water or wine to clear it out, then he's allowed to. That's not considered a violation of a malacha of what would be like tikkun mana about fixing the shofar, and hence that's permitted to be done in Yom Tov. But the Gemara explains and says that Maima Yayin in, it sounds like that, yes, water or wine, that is, that you are allowed to put in. Mir glaim loy, but it sounds like, however, urine is not allowed to be placed inside the shofar to clean it out. So now the Gemara asks Masnit Mani, so who is the Tana of Mishnah? Now the Gemara says Abishali, the Tana Glinda Braisa, Abishali, he says, Maim o Yain Mutu, yes, you're allowed to put in water or wine into the shofar, it's not a violation of the Malacha on Yom Tov. That is Kedela Tzachzachai, because you're doing it to clean it out. Mir glaim also, however, urine is forbidden, because although that might clear it out very well, I'm not covered because of the honor, it's not dignified to place that inside the shofar, which is one of the most symbolic things of the mitzvahs on Rosh Hashanah, and therefore one is not allowed to put that inside the shofar to clean it up. Then the Mishnah continued and said, "Ein ma'akvin es ha'tinoikis melitkaya." We don't have to prevent, to stop a child from blowing the shofar Rosh Hashanah. And the reason is, as the Gemara will explain, because there's an obligation of chinuch, of implementing the mitzvahs for a child even before they're mechuyev, which one of the mitzvahs is to blow the shofar. And however, the Gemara makes the following diak. But the inference is that, however, women, we would have to stop them. And that is because they're totally exempt from the mitzvah of shofar, because it's what's called a mitzvah saseches ma'garama. It's a time-bound positive commandment where women are not obligated in that. And therefore, when they're blowing, it's somewhat of like a bal ta'isav, as if they're adding on to the mitzvah because they're not obligated. And therefore, if they would be blowing on shofar, we would stop them. Now, on that the Gemara asks, but v'tanya lo braisa, that contradicts this and says, eima akvin, we do not stop a child or a woman, and he says, loyas anoshim, loyas etinoikis mutkai b'yamtiv. We don't stop from them blowing a shofar on yamtiv, whether it's a child or a woman. Now, that contradicts the diak of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah makes it sound like a child you don't stop. Again, because they are part of the mitzvah on some level, because they're going to be one day obligated, and actually right now there's a chiv of chinuch. But by the woman, she has no chiv, so therefore that should be forbidden to be done on yamtiv, because there's that element of bal taisav. But the Braisa says that you don't stop them. So then Abaye says, loy kash. It says, it's not a contradiction, it's not a machlekes. He says, because ha, this that says that we are ma'akfin, that we do stop the women, which is our Mishnah, that's Rabbi Yehuda. Ha, but the Braisa says that we're not ma'akif, even women, is Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, that says that you wouldn't have to stop them. That's because it's based on a different machlekes. The time that we learn about Braisa. There's a pasuk Mayuka that says, Dabel ben Israel, speak to the Jewish people. Now the pasuk there continues and says, Vamarta lehem, you should tell them, Adam Mikiyakim Mekem, a person that's going to bring a carbon, etc. And it continues over there where it says, Vesamach Yadai, and then the person will do what's called smicha, where he leans his hand on top of the head of the animal, of the carbon that he's bringing. Now, the diuk is Bnei Yisrael Semchen, where it's saying that, talk to the Bnei Yisrael, where then it continues to do the mitzvah smicha, which are the men of the Jewish people. But the ein benayis yisol semchas. However, the daughters of the Jewish people, they don't do smicha. The Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, they say that noshim semchas rishos. That you're right, they're not obligated, but women have that option if they want to do the smicha. Now, one thing we see is that according to Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Shimon, that even if the pasuk have exempted them because they agreed to the limud of the pasuk of bnei Yisrael, benat benayis Yisrael, but there's no issur, there's no prohibition. They have the rishus, they have the volition, voluntarily, if they wanted, they could do it, and therefore the same thing would apply to even the mitzvah saseches ma'garama. Although the pasuk, the Torah, exempts them from time-bound positive commandments, but if they want to, they could, if there wouldn't be any violation of anything of some sorts. Therefore, just like they say by smicha, they're allowed to. By Rosh Hashanah, blowing the shofar, they're also allowed to, and hence there's no element of like bal taisiv, as if they're not allowed to. And that's the difference between the two opinions of our Mishnah that says you would have to stop women, because that's like Rabbi Yehuda who says, no, if you're exempt, then you're not including it whatsoever, and that would actually be an element of bal taisiv. Whereas Rabbi Yisrael Mishnah say that, no, that you don't have to, but if you want, you could, and therefore, if they are blowing the shofar, we don't have to stop them. Now, the Mishnah then continued regarding the children, which that's what it was talking about. that we said you don't have to stop them. The Mishnah says, "Avl mas'askin behem ad she'yilmdu." But actually, you do engage the children with the blowing of the shofar until they learn how to blow the shofar. Because as we explained, there's an obligation of teaching the child how to blow, because one day he's going to be an adult and he'll have the mitzvah of the kiyum shofar. Now, that the Gemara explains, "Amr b'laza afilu b'shabbos." Actually, this blowing of the shofar, although we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, but this that you don't have to stop the child if he's blowing, and then the Mishnah said even more, you actually engage the child, you want him to learn how to do it, that would even be on Shabbos. As the Gemara says, Tanam Hoche, as we learn in the Braisa, Misaskin behen ad she'ilmdu, you engage them, you get involved with them in the blowing of the shofar until they learn. And afilu b'shabbos, even on Shabbos. Now, and then the Braisa continues and says, Ve'ema akvin esat tinaikis mutke b'shabbos, you don't hold back the child. If he started blowing it, you let him continue blowing. You wouldn't have to stop him if he's blowing it on Yom Tov. As we explained, the difference is on Shabbos, there's this concern about Haitzah, about the reason why we don't blow on Shabbos is because he might come carry Dalai Amas and Shos Rabbim. So you don't even have to stop him even if it's on Shabbos, and for sure not on Yom Tov. Now, the Gemara asks, between the two halves of the Braisa, Hagu V'Kasha, that's internally contradictory, because Amr, first you said in the Braisa, Mes'askin behen ad she'yilmdu v'afilu b'Shabbos, that you should engage the child, you want him to learn how to do it, and even on Shabbos. Now, Amalek etchil amrin taku, so what that sounds like is that even initially, you want that, you would prefer that he would be blowing it even on Shabbos, so that he learns how to blow. But then Bahadur Tan, then the end of the Braisa says, Ema akfin, you don't stop him, which sounds like Ikuvuhu dole ma akfin, you don't stop him. But it sounds like, but initially you don't tell him to blow, because if, first of all, there's no mitzvah now on Shabbos for the child to be blowing, and therefore there's this concern about Haitzah that you don't stop him. So what is it? Is it that you engage him initially that you want to, even on Shabbos, or that you just don't stop him? So the Gemara says, Loi Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Because Khan, the first part of the Braisa that was saying that you engage the child, and we continue on Talmud Beis, was talking about Katan Shegil Chinuch. We're talking about a child that already reached Chinuch age, where then you want to engage him that he should learn it, and most definitely that you wouldn't stop him. But it's that he already has the obligations, he doesn't have the prohibitions of that we're concerned on Shabbos that we might come to carry, because he doesn't have the actual mitzvah. However, the Iker mitzvah biblically applies even on Shabbos. You want him to learn how to do it, and therefore you go ahead and you engage him even on Shabbos. Khan, there where we said that we're just not going to stop the child, is bekotin shlei gila chinuch. The child that didn't reach chinuch age. So therefore we don't stop him because he's not obligated into certain mitzvahs. So you don't have to stop him from blowing the shofar, which is this rabbinic prohibition. However, the idea is, but there's no obligation to go ahead and say, oh, we want you to learn how to do it, because there's no obligation of chinuch yet. We're not training him yet into mitzvahs. So therefore there's that, we don't stop him, but it's not like the Reisha said that you engage him to learn how to do it, because that's only when he reaches the chinuch age. Then the Mishnah continued and said a different halacha related to the same terminology of misasik, v'ha misasik lo yatsa, where in this context it means something else. It means to say that it's the same root of the word, but in this context it means to say that someone that's distracted when he's blowing the shofar, that he doesn't even have an intention even to blow. Not only that he's not intending to do the mitzvah, rather he's just like barking, or he's just blowing into the shofar, and it just happens to make the sound of a tekiah. So in that our Mishnah says that then you have not fulfilled your chiyuv of blowing the shofar. Now, however, the inference of the Gemara is, Hatekeh Leshir, but it sounds like that if he is blowing with an intentional blow, that is, he wants to make music, he's not having in mind, oh, it's Tekeh Shafer, but he's just playing a song, and happens to play the Tekeh, the Truah, the Tekeh, then Yatzeh, it sounds like he has fulfilled his Chiyuv. It's just that if he's totally misasik, totally not engaged in this activity of blowing a Tekeh, he's just happened to be blowing in, you know, whistling, and it just makes that sound, then you're not going to fulfill it. But if you're blowing to blow, just not for the mitzvah of blowing of Tekiah Shofar, and then you have fulfilled. And that the Gemara says, so let's say this supports Rava. Dama Rava said, if you blow, even not to blow the mitzvah of Shofar, you forgot today's Rosh Hashanah. You're just blowing, you like the sound of how Tekiah and Truah sounds like. And then someone tells you, hey, it's Rosh Hashanah, hey, you fulfilled your Chiyuv. That's what Rava says. It sounds like our Mishnah agrees to that. It's just only if you're totally misasik that you're not Yetzah. The Gemara says no. Because Dilma Tekeh Lashir, Nami Mas'asik Karili. Maybe the town of our Mishnah actually calls blowing for song as preoccupied, as distracted, because it's in context of the mitzvah. Maybe mitzvah's Tzrichas Kavona. Maybe you actually have to have intention. If you don't, you're not fulfilling your chiyuv. Now, so why does it call Mas'asik? It should have said a bigger chiddush of Tekeh Lashir. Because blowing for song is considered in this context of Mas'asik. You're distracted from what is of the blowing it has to be, because it's not enough just to blow. It has to be a blow, L'shei Mitzvah, and therefore it's not a raya to Rava. Then the Mishnah concluded and said, V'hashemeyim in the Mas'asik, L'yatsa. not only if someone blows, when he's blowing, he's misasik, he's not fulfilled, but even someone else that hears it from him, he also will not fulfill his chiyuv. Now, however, again, the Gemara makes a diik. Now, what it sounds like is that if someone listens from someone that's blowing for himself, what would the halacha be? In other words, that he's not misasik. The one who's blowing, he's blowing, he's having kavana, I want to blow for tekiyah shofar, but he's not having anyone else in mind, doesn't realize even someone that's listening to him. Sounds like the yatzah, that the other person would be yatzah, because it's saying a much lower thing in our Mishnah. It's saying that if the guy who's blowing didn't have in mind for the mitzah at all, then other people that hear will not be yatzah. But if he's having in mind for the mitzah, it sounds like that he doesn't have to have other people in mind. It's enough. You heard the tekiyah shofar, and you fulfill your chiyuv. Therefore, the Gemara says, "Lema tabat yuvat Reb Zera." This should be refutation. Reb Zera's opinion, which was mentioned in the previous daf. Domali Reb Zera l'shamoy. Reb Zera said to his attendant, "Ichavin v'takali." He says, "Look, have me in mind and blow for me, because I can't fulfill my chiyuv unless you're having me in mind." Now, this seems to be refuted from our Mishnah, which says that no, it's just if he's misasik, then there's no tekiyah shofar to listen to. But if there was an act of tekiyah shofar, then you heard your tekiyah shofar. You don't have him to have him have in mind. So that seems to refute Reb Zera. The thing where it says, no, it's not a refutation. Dilma Aidi Ditana Resha Masasik, maybe because the beginning of the Mishnah, meaning the first halacha, regarding the one who's blowing for himself, that we said if he's Masasik, he has not fulfilled his chiv. So Tana Seifa not Masasik, therefore the Seifa, meaning regarding someone else listening to that person, also utilize the same terminology of Masasik. And really the halacha would be like Rabzera, that if someone listens to someone who's blowing for himself, that he didn't have in mind to be Yaitzi, to fulfill the chiv of the obligations of others, then the other person has not fulfilled his chiv, and really, it's not just by Masasik. It just spoke about that case because the ratio is talking about that case, where that's regarding the person himself. He doesn't have to have in mind to fulfill his own chiv because that's obviously what he's doing. So the only way he's not is if he's Masasik. But however, regarding the one who listens, it could even be if he's not Masasik, if he's having in mind for the Shaifer, but he didn't have other people in mind, it just utilized the same case of Masasik for the one who's doing it for himself, for the one who's hearing from that person too. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme about the order of the tekiyas that we do on Rosh Hashanah. So the Mishnah tells us, Seder tekiyas, the order of the different blowing, is shalish, are three groupings, meaning there's one for Malchias, which is Hashem's kingship, one for Zechranias, the remembrances, and one for Shaifaris. Now, shalish. Now, each one is comprised of three tekiyas, meaning there's a tekiya, true and tekiya, for each one of these groups. Now, the Mishnah tells us that the shir tekiya, how long does the tekiah, the blow, the blast, have to be? So that's kesholish truas, like as long as how three truas are. And then the Mishnah continues, and how long is a trua? Shir trua is kesholish yababes. The shir of a trua is like the sound of three small little sounds. And the smallest sound that it can be, a little sound, like a whimper, that's how long a trua is. Now, Tukabir Yishrein, the Mishnah brings the following case, which was discussed a few times on previous Daffim, that if the person blows the first tekiah, meaning the first one, let's say starting with Malchias, the first of the three groups, so you have to have a pshuta, what's called a regular sound, then you have a trua, which is small little sounds, and then you have again another tekiah. So regarding the first one that he did before the trua, he did regular. Then umashach b'shnia, after he did the first tekiah, then he did the trua, now he's going to the second tekiah, he goes out and he blows it as long as the length of kishtayim, as long as it would take to blow two tekiyas, which, now the reason why he's doing this is because essentially now he has to do two tekiyas. He has to do the tekiyah to finish off the set of Malchus. Then he has to do another tekiyah to start off the set of Zechariah. So he's like, hey, why should I stop? Let me just blow it as long as two tekiyas. And then it should be considered as if I did the last one for the Malchus and the first one of Zechariah. And that the Mishnah tells us, Ein b'yada el achas. It's not true. He has only fulfilled one tekiyah, meaning the last one of Malchus, and he would have to go to blow a new tekiyah for the Zechariah. And the reason is, as we had explained in the previous daf, because we can't cut up tekiyahs into two, although yes, it was the same length, and even if possibly if you hear only part of it would be enough, but we can't go ahead and cut it up and say that this was for one tekiyah and this was for another tekiyah. Now the Mishnah continues with a different halacha, Misha Beirach, someone that made the brachas of the tefillah of Musaf. And he said his nine brachas, which are said in the tefillah of Musaf, the achakach nismanu loy shayfer. Now, although the halacha is that we blow during Musaf, but he didn't have a shayfer, and he only got it after Musaf. So that the Mishnah tells us. So then, tekiah mariyah b'tekiah, shalish pam. Then you do your three sets of tekiah, true tekiah, for one for Malchias, one for Zechariah, one for Shaifaris, afterwards, because once you get it, then you do those three sets of three. Now, the Mishnah concludes with a related halacha regarding the shlich tibur, and the tzibur that are one person's blowing for everyone. And it says kishem shashlich tzibur chayiv, just like the shlich tzibur, who he's literally the messenger of the public, which means that he's the one that goes ahead and daven for the amid. Just like he's obligated to daven, which everyone's listening to him when he says the what's called the shots, is when he says this tefillah out loud for everyone. Kach kol yochid biyochid chayiv. So too, every individual has an obligation to daven. He says, Shlich Tzibur Meitzi Esaram Yidei Chavasan. He says, no, actually, the Shlich Tzibur, the one who's davening by the Amen, he fulfills everyone's chiyuv for davening. And Nigma will elaborate, so why do we have for either one the Tefillah Balachas or the Tefillah of the Shlich Tzibur? Now the Gemara asked regarding the Shir of Tekiah that was mentioned on Mishnah, that we said that, what's the Shir Tekiah? We said it's like three truas, which it sounds like from our Mishnah. What that means is that you have to blow it as long as three truas. Now, a true itself, we said, are three yabavis, which that sounds like that it has to be nine yabavis, meaning three truas is how long one tekiah is. But Vatani went in the Braisa that says Shir Tekiah Ketrua, that the length of the tekiah is the same length as a trua. Now, essentially, they're different because a tekiah is one clear blast, and the trua are three small little blasts. But the length of them should be the same, which means to say that the tekiah should be the length of three yabavis, just straight, and the trua are those three yabavis. But our Mishnah sounds like that, no, that it has to be nine, because it has to be three truas, and every trua has three yabavis. And then Abaye says, no. Tana didan kachashiv tekiah dekulabavi. Actually, they're not arguing. The Tana of our Mishnah was mentioning when it says the tekiah is like the length of three truas, it meant all the tekiahs are like the length of three truas. Betruas dekulabavi. And it was mentioning the truas of all of them, meaning to say that, yes, three tekiahs equal three truas. So although it said that the tekiah is kishal truas, it meant to say that all the tekiahs, meaning the three tekiahs that you have to have over there, are the length of the three truas that there are. Tani bra, however, the tana of the braisa, kachashav chadbava vesulai, he was only counting one, meaning he was saying the length of a tekiah is the length of a trua, and really they're not arguing. They both agree that the length of a tekiah is the same length as a trua. It's just that the tana of our Mishnah was mentioning them all together, and then it was saying that that's how much it's going to come out, because it's three for three, and there it was saying in the braisa that it's one for one, because essentially the length of a tekiah is the length of a trua. Then the Mishnah continued. It said, so how long is this trua to know how long the tekiah is? Shir trua kegimel yabavis. The length of a trua is like the length of three yabavis. Now, as we explained in the Mishnah, we were saying that means like three little whimpers. But the Gemara asked, we're talking about in the Braisa, that shir trua kesholosh shvarim, that the length of a trua is like three shvarim, which are longer than yabavis. Which, although this can be confusing, because many people have the terminologies of trua and shvarim, essentially, the halacha is to blow a tekiah, trua, and a tekiah. But then there's a machlikis regarding what a trua is, as we're going to see in our Gemara, and that's where we get the different terminologies from. But the actual terminology is trua, so is that yabavis, the length of three yabavis, which are small little whimpers, or is it the length of three shvarim, which is much longer, which is longer sounds? So on that, Abaye says, Behavadi plig. He says, although I already resolved one contradiction, seemingly contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa, where I said that the sound of a tekiah is the same as a trua, and it's not like how our Mishnah sounded like that it's the sound of three truas. But here, regarding the sound of a trua, it is a machlekes. Something like it says a pasuk in Midbar. It says, Yem trua yilecha. A day of trua, it should be for you. Now, umetargaminan, the targum translates in the Aramaic is that Yem yabavi yilecha. It should be for you a day of yabava, of crying. Now, Uchsiv be'imid a sister, it says regarding the mother of Sisera, a similar type of a terminology where it says in the pasuk in Shaftim, ba'ad ha'chaloin nishkefa, that out of the window she was looking, v'tiyabav em sister, and the mother of Sisera was crying because her son was killed in battle, he wasn't coming back home. Now, on that the Gemara says that this is what the machlekes is. Marsaver ginuchi ganach, that one tana holds that like a person that's crying from his heart, like the people that are ill, where they have this longer type of a moan. That's what is the term of shvarim, which is this longer sound. That's the interpretation of yabava, which that would mean yem tru ilachem. So the true is actually, according to that Tana, as we brought in the Braisa, of shvarim. Umarsav, however, the Tana of our Mishnah is yulule yalil, which is like a person that's crying, these small little sounds, these whimpers, which are sobbing one right after the other. That's how they interpret the term of trua. And therefore, that is the machlokes. So it is a machlokes regarding the sound, and we actually do both of them, which are the trua and shvarim. What we're calling trua is really what the Gemara is calling yalil, which is this term of sholish yabavi. And then there's what we call the shvarim, is because of this machlokes regarding, is that the trua? These longer types of sobs, of these moans, that is a machlokes regarding how long is the trua, and therefore then the obviously would have ramifications regarding how long the tki would be, regarding how do we define the length of the trua. Is it three abavis, or is it three shvarim that are longer than the sounds of the yalil? So the Gemara continues regarding the actual halacha that we're talking about in our Mishnah, regarding the tkiya shayfer on Rosh Hashanah, and also that you have to have a tkiya, trua, tkiya, and three sets of that. So turn about and learn the braisa. How do we know that we blow with a shayfer on Rosh Hashanah? So Tamalim, there's a pasuk in Biyuka that says Vavarta Shayfer Trua, that you should pass through a shayfer of blast. Now, inli elu b'yavel, I would only know that applies to Yavu, because that's where the halach is talking about, where there on Yom Kippur, every 50 years, they would also blow a shayfer. Rosh Hashanah minayin, how do you know Rosh Hashanah actually doesn't say in the context of the halachas of Rosh Hashanah in the Pesukim that it has to be with a shayfer? How do you know? So Tamalim, so it says within the pasuk, b'chaydish hashvi, in the seventh month. Now, she'en tamalim b'chaydish hashvi, then there where it's talking about the Yom Kippur on Yavu, there's really nothing that the pasuk is teaching us when it's saying in the seventh month. Now, so what is the seventh month teaching us? Because the Torah already told us many times that Yom Kippur is in the seventh month, meaning in the month of Tishrei. And here we're saying that Yovel, it's on Yom Kippur when you blow the shayfer. So obviously, if we're saying it's on Yom Kippur, we know it's in the seventh month. So why is it repeating that idea? So that the Braisa says, Shiyu kol truish al chodesh shvi zekizeh. It's coming to tell you this following halacha, that all the blasts of the seventh month should be the same. Which means to say the Rosh Hashanah, which is also in the seventh month, the month of Tishrei, should have the same halacha as the blast of Yom Kippur on Yovel, which is with a shayfer. So that's how we know that you blow with a shayfer in Rosh Hashanah. How do you know another halacha that our Mishnah mentioned, that although it says in the pasuk trua, but you have to have a tkiya before the trua. Tamalema, that says in the pasuk, v'havarta shayfer trua. It says the term havarta before the term of trua, which havarta means to say that it connotes the term of pshuta, of something that's flat, meaning havaras kailecha, just the passing of one sound. So that's where we know to have a tkiya before the trua. How do you know the other halacha of our Mishnah that, okay, so you have a tkiya and trua, how do you know you have to have a tkiya after that trua? Tamalema, there the pasuk says, taviru shayfer, where it says Havara in the beginning, then it says Havara at the end, and it says in the middle over there in the pasuk Trua, so you see that you have to have Havara also afterwards, which again connotes the term of a Tekiah, of one blast passing through. So that's how you know Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah, for every Trua. Now, V'einli el b'yayvel. Now again, I would only know these halachas apply to Yayvel. B'resh shaman anuminayin. How do we know that the same halacha of Tekiah, Trua, Tekiah applies to Rosh Hashanah too? Tamalem, again, as we said, B'chay Desh HaShavi, it says in the pasuk in the seventh month, we continue to tabalam adal and alf. There's really nothing that's being taught with repeating that it's in the seventh month. So what is it teaching us that it's in the seventh month? Because again, that all the halachas of the seventh month should be the same. Now, this is where we get to the final halacha of this. So we already know it has to be with the shayfer. And we know it has to be a tkiya true tkiya. Now, but how do you know that when we said you have to have a pshuta lefanau and lachra and a trua in the middle, that you do that three times, like we said, one for Malchus, one for Zechariah, one for Shefaros? How do we know that? So in that Tamalimer, the pasuk teaches us, it says in the pasuk three times the term trua. Now, for every trua, we already learned you need to have a pshuta before it, meaning a tkiya, and a pshuta, a tkiya, afterwards. As it says three times, the pasuk says v'havarter shayfer trua, that's one time. It says shabbos and zichron trua, that's a second time. And it says again trua, yim trua yilachem. So it says three times trua, and again each trua needs to have a tkiya before and tkiya after. That's how we know three sets of tkiya, trua, tkiya. However, the Gemara asks, but u'minayin litnes ha'omer shal zeh bezeh v'shal zeh bezeh. Now, the reason is that, yes, although we found in the pasuk three times the term trua, they're not in the context of one halacha, because two of them actually are said in the context of the halachas of Rosh Hashanah. One of them is said in the context of halachas of Yevil. They're two totally different halachas. Now, how do we know that the two terms of trua that it said by Rosh Hashanah that we should apply to the one time of Yevil, meaning to make three times by Yevil? And how do we know to take the one context of by Yevil to apply to Rosh Hashanah to say that that one joins those two, to say that both have three? How would we know that that would apply? Maybe there's only going to be two by Rosh Hashanah and one by Yevil. Tamalema, again, that's what the pasuk teaches. Shvi, shvi, l'gzer shava. Here, the Braisa changes a little bit, transitions, and says that it's actually gzer shava, because it says by Rosh Hashanah, b'chedesh shvi, and it says by Yevil, v'arvarta shayfer trua, b'chedesh shvi. So we make gzer shava. and that is Haketz. And what does that come out to be? That Shalish Shein Tesha comes out that you have to blow three that's nine. Meaning because Shir Tekiah Ketru, you have the three that's nine because you're having the three truest, which, because since it says B'chedesh B'chedesh, we make Gzeri Shabbat to say that what's here is there and what's there is here. So each one ends up getting the one from the other one. So the two of Rosh Hashanah go to the one of Yevil, the one of Yevil goes to the two of Rosh Hashanah, each one has three. So you have three truest, and again, as we said, that every true has to have a Tekiah before and Tekiah after, that makes the three truest into nine. And the Brisa concludes by saying that Shir Tekiah is Ketruah, as our Mishnah said. That's how long a Tekiah has to be, as long as a Truah. And Shir Truah is Keshalah Shvarim, which was like how the Brisa said it, not like how our Mishnah said it. Again, regarding the Machlekes about what a Truah is it like our Mishnah said, three Yabavis, three little whimpers, or three Shvarim, which are bigger sounds like moans? That's the Brisa. Again, that's the source for our halachas. But the Gemara asks on the Brisa, Hai Tana, the Tana of this Brisa. Initially, when he starts off the Braisa, he learns the halachas of each one, Yevil and Rosh Hashanah, from each other through a hekesh. That we said that how do we know regarding Shaifer and regarding Pshuta Lefanel Lachreah that Rosh Hashanah will have those halachas, although it only says it by Yevil. So he said though that, oh, Rosh Hashanah learns from Yevil from a hekesh. Because what's the term of Chedesh Shvi teaching? It's not really teaching anything. Come and tell you Hekesh that we equate the truest of the Chedesh Shvi that they should be the same. So whatever's by Yebel should be Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah should be by Yebel. Now, Vahashta, but you look at the end of the Braisa, Maisela B'Gzer Shava. It's learned out from B'Gzer Shava to say that, oh, that's how we know that what applies here goes there and goes there, goes there. Now, the essential question of the Gemara is that we could have learned that with a Hekesh too. And that is because if the Pasuk would be as it's written, that Rosh Hashanah should have two truest, which means with a tekiah before and after, and the one by Yevil is only one, but then the truest of the seventh month will not be the same. And we said already from the Hekesh they have to be the same. So we'd already know it without Gzereshav, with the Hekesh itself, that they both have to have three, because they have to be the same. So then why does the Braisa conclude with Gzereshav if we know it with a Hekesh? Another Gemara says, you're right, Hachikama. What the Braisa was saying was, Ilav Gzereshav. Had we not had Gzereshav, which what that means is Gzereshav, when we compare terms that it says over here to there, it's halacha l'meishim misinai. One cannot make it up on their own. It has to be a misaira. Now, that's something that we have to have. So it's saying, had we not had that, then have a misinai l'bahakesha, that we could have learned it out on our own. In other words, without a halacha l'meishim misinai, we couldn't have made it up. And although we would want to compare, we wouldn't. But we're saying that a hekesh is something that one could do. The chazal could do it even without a halacha l'meishim misinai, without a tradition. So we're saying, had we not had it, we would have learned it out with a hekesh. But you're right. What the Braisa is concluding is by saying, the hashtu the ask Gzereshava, but now that we have it from Gzereshava, hekesh leitzach, we actually don't need the hekesh. It's just that we could have learned it on our own with a hekesh, but actually now that Gzereshava, the Gzereshava does all those halachas and says, what's here is there, what's there is here, and that's how we know the halachas of Rosh Hashanah with a shayfer and tekiah tru tekiah and three sets is because we compare the two halachas, again with Gzereshava, and we don't need the hekesh because halachal mishrasinam, the Gzereshava already teaches us these halachas.